Praise. And Pentecost, we're gonna get into some scripture today. Is that okay? Amen. And we're gonna see what the Lord has to say regarding Pentecost. Pentecost, if you do not know, comes from the Greek Pentecoste. Pentecoste actually means 50th day, okay, or counting to 50. When I was a kid, growing up in the Assemblies of God, we attended a church called Southwest Assembly of God in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my memories of that start around 70, 71, and then up until my senior year in 83 before we moved to Texas. So everything that I knew regarding Pentecost or being Pentecostal came during that time. So if you were to ask me then what I thought Pentecost was, this is what I would have thought. That you do a lot of shaking, that you fall on the ground getting slain in the spirit, that you get filled with speaking in tongues, that there would be a group of, if you ever went down front, you were going to be met by three ladies and two men, and they were going to pray with you really hard, and they were going to put you on the floor whether you went there or not, or wanted to go or not. Is everybody with me? I remember people would just get up and run around the church sometimes. I saw many Jericho marches. How many of you have never been in a Jericho march? Raise your hand. Be honest. Hey, that's okay. I saw a lot of them. But that's what, if you were to ask me, that's what I would have said at that time what Pentecost was. But guys, Pentecost is known as the Jewish Feast of Weeks. It's also known as Shavuot, which means also the days of the first fruits. Now, Shavuot, the second of the great Jewish feasts, is celebrated every year. It's the seventh week after the Passover. It is in recognition of the completed harvest or the first fruits. Now, guys, here it is. Now, today, a lot of the Jewish faith don't really celebrate the first of fruits part of it. It's more of they celebrate that when after Passover, that when God delivered them out of Egypt, that it took those 7 weeks or that in that 50th day that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, or the Torah. Now, we of Christian faith, we focus on the book of Acts. We focus on the giving of the Holy Spirit that met those that waited in the upper room. Now, guys, here's the thing. No matter how you look at Pentecost, whether you're of Jewish faith or you're of Christian faith, on the 50th day, they were gifted something amazing. The Hebrew people received the Ten Commandments or their Torah, and we, the followers of Christ, were gifted with the Holy Spirit. So here we are, Pentecost Sunday, celebrating together, and this is what I'm praying today. That God would speak to every person regarding their relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that we will respond by allowing His Holy Spirit to be activated in everybody say every area of our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And it says, Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift that I've told you about, the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you go to chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, but I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be seized with power. We know that there is power in the hand of God. We know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen for that? And we know that there is power in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It goes on to say, you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, and even the remotest places on earth. So again, on Pentecost Sunday, regarding the Holy Spirit, this is what we know. And one of the things that we know is that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and we're kind of building the message around this morning. It says, and on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. In the NIV, it actually says that it filled the whole house. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. Now, I don't know on the East Coast if you guys have ever heard of a donut shop called Shipley's Donuts. Has anybody ever heard of Shipley's Donuts anywhere? Okay. If you're from the South, you definitely have heard of it. Shipley's Donuts was the donut shop. Now, I'm going to admit something. Krispy Kreme donuts have the market on glaze. I'm going to tell you why. Because those suckers can sit on your counter for 6 days. You can put them in the microwave, and they're just as good as when you bought them the day that you got the Krispy Kreme donut, okay? Now, they're chocolate iced filled and vanilla filled. They're okay. But you can actually bite into the donut, and you might not get any icing until you get to the very end. But a Shipley's donut, it is filled with chocolate ice, whatever. Listen, my brother played football for Shipley's Donuts for a couple of years. And so every Saturday we would go, they had Shipley's Donuts there. So I loved going to his football games. But my parents would take me and I would get the chocolate ice filled, you know, donut, because I knew that in every bite I was going to have that icing go into my mouth. And this is what I believe that we need to receive as a church, that we don't just know of the Holy Spirit, but that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? I've said this and I believe this, that if we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us, I'm talking about Him coming into every molecule of my body, every cell of my body, that the Holy Spirit would be able to have appointment with me and have His presence inside me. In the story, after they were filled in chapter 2, we know in chapter 3 that Peter and John are going through. They end up healing a man. Peter ends up testifying and talking to us and preaching the gospel, and everything's going down, and the high priests get really ticked off about this. So that we know in chapter 4, they have them arrested. They bring them before all of the high priests, and they're going after them. They're threatening them death. They're threatening them imprisonment, that they're going to beat them to an inch of their lives. And then Peter opens his mouth. And it says in Acts 4:8, Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, answered. And what we know in that chapter is all of a sudden now they're going, wait. How is that coming out of his mouth? Is everybody following me? They're like, how does this fisherman, isn't this guy just a common person? How is he speaking with this type of knowledge about our God? And so what happens is they have him taken away. They reason around each other. What are we going to do? We don't have anything to hold them from. They bring them back in. They threaten them some more. But they still don't have anything to do with them. Peter is still standing and speaking what the Holy Spirit had given him. So they release him. And here's what we know in Acts 4:31. It says, and as they, the church, prayed, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. Each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. So Paul, in some of his letters, he wrote and he talked about this. He doesn't say to have some of the Spirit or for some of the things that we go through. He's not saying that. Our faith is an all or nothing faith in an all-sufficient and all-powerful God. Can I get an amen? And the Holy Spirit will fill and take control of us. And once the Holy Spirit fills us and gains control, He can then use anything that He wants through us to do what He needs to do through us, because He's with us. There's a story, and it's between these two men, and one of them is really struggling with the addiction of alcohol. And his buddy is born again, and he's trying to kind of help him walk through and everything. And so they're just having a conversation. And the guy who's struggling with his addiction looks at his friend, and he says, have you ever been drunk? And before the guy could even finish answering, he says, well, I have. He says that when I fill my body with this stuff, it affects everything and who I am, the way I walk, the way I talk, the things that I think, the way that I react. It affected him, and he was letting him know this. You guys, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that experience, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit will have an effect on every part of your life. Ephesians 5:18 says, and don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. In another translation, the way it talks about it, it says, or be inebriated in the Spirit's fullness. I want to share a story with you, and I'm going to do the best that I can to accurately give this to you. But my father-in-law, John Wilkerson, was an amazing pastor. Learned so much from him and a blessing to my family and loved having him as my father. And he was just such a gift to the kingdom because of what he did in the churches throughout the world and the money that he raised for missions worldwide. But at one point, at kind of near the height of his ministry as it was coming to the end, he had had a couple falls and banged his head pretty good. After one of the falls, he had a major brain bleed where it was really, really bad, but they got it under control at some point and he was released. And well, years later, he had another fall. Something happened and they found that he was having a massive brain bleed this time. And so they had him in the hospital. They weren't sure he was going to make it. So they're calling in the children. They're calling Lori in to go fly down to be with her dad. Didn't know if he was going to make it through this week or whatever. And so she goes down. It's her night to stay with him in the hospital. So she's there with him. They kind of have him so heavily sedated, have him in an induced type coma to allow his brain swelling to go down and the blood to stop. And so she's laying there in the middle of the night. He's out laying on his back. And all of a sudden, out of his heart, out of his mouth, he begins to start telling stories of his years in ministry. Starts talking out loud, starts talking about his children and where they are and how proud he is of them and what they're doing for the kingdom. And at one point, I think he was even like almost talking to the room like Lori's presence was there, that it was a nurse that he was talking to in his state. I don't know what it was like. But even then, he goes into speaking in tongues. Guys, he ends up going years later into full dementia. Didn't know anybody, didn't know his daughter, didn't know me, he didn't know we were married, he thought she was my girlfriend. It just kind of gotten to that place. But when we would go visit our family, we would always get in a circle to pray before we'd leave. And as soon as we would go into prayer, he doesn't know anybody, he doesn't know what's going on, but yet he would go right into praying in the Spirit through the gift of tongues. Explain this to me. Think about what I'm saying to you. That when I talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that it doesn't matter what's going on. That if you're filled with Him, if He's in your every cell of your body, whether you lose your mind or not, He's going to speak through you because you have Him inside of you. Amen? That's where we want to be. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That experience, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will have an effect on every part of our lives. The world can mock us, and they do. They can try to change, they can try to cancel or discredit our faith or our calling, but they cannot take away the filling of the Holy Spirit. Can't take it. They can't have it. They can't have my Holy Spirit, amen? God has given it to me, and I want Him to stay with me. And here's a second thought. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. Acts 2:39, it says, for God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. And in the Aramaic, it can be translated as this outpouring is for you and your families, for those yet to be born and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. In Acts 2:3, going back to it, remember, it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. You got to remember, there was 120 people in that room. You have to remember that if all of us at the same time, even if planet Earth all at the same time got on our knees and we started asking for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, He's big enough for everyone, everybody say everyone, to have His Holy Spirit within them. You see, those in the upper room were about to experience something that they had never experienced before. Think about this for a second. 120 of them. We know the disciples were there. We know that His mother Mary was there. Okay? It's the last time she's actually mentioned in the New Testament. But she was there. And you have to remember when I say that they're about to experience something they've never experienced. Listen, they just watched Him ascend into heaven. They've seen Him walk on water. They saw Him transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Him bring Lazarus out of the grave. They watched him die on the cross and raised on the third day, but yet they're about to experience something that they never experienced before. They walked with Jesus. They saw his miracles. They listened to his sermons and his teachings. They did life with him, but they had never experienced his Holy Spirit before. Guys, I have been talking about this for about the past couple of months, that I just want Harvest Assembly to have some experiences with the Lord that we have never experienced in our lives. And I believe that we serve a God that can actually do this, that I can actually experience something in my life that I have never seen or experienced before. Healing the sick, guys. Here, look, check this out, first of all. His presence, being filled, being led, being sent. Remember the scripture said it this way. It separated into tongues of fire and engulfed each one of them. 120 of them. All of them engulfed by the flame of the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, common people, common fishermen, began moving in the extraordinary, healing the sick, throwing demons on their head, preaching everywhere that they could, preaching to cities and seeing the people of those cities change forever. Back in the 90s, Lori and I had the opportunity to fly to Brownsville and go to the Brownsville Revival. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it was an unbelievable revival that lasted for so long. And we had a cousin that was on staff, so we were able to get in, and people would line up for literally up over miles and would be 8 to 6 wide trying to get in to experience this revival. And so I was there for a couple nights. And remember, Assembly's God boy. Southwest Assembly of God, Little Rock. I've seen it all, right? Okay. Well, this church actually had some banners going around. We didn't have banners back in the 70s. Nobody was waving banners. I was seeing some things. I was seeing people getting slain in the spirit. I was seeing people getting healed. There was all these things happening. And on the second night we were there, the pastor of the revival calls. He just asks. He just goes, how many senior pastors do we have with us tonight? And so some hands went up, and there was about 25 of them. He invited them down. They were from all over the U.S. and around the world. They come down. He has them line up in front of him. He has them put their arms around each other and gets them as close as he can. He says, I'm going to come down. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit is going to bless you, your ministry, and fill you today. And so he has people behind him getting ready to catch them in case they fall. Guys, I'm watching this. I'm two rows back looking at what's about to happen. And he reaches and touches the first pastor on his head. And the pastor on the very end of the line goes shooting off like he just got struck by a bolt of lightning. I'd never seen anything like that before. Could not have been planned. They were from all over the place. But the Holy Spirit didn't just fill the person that he was touching. It affected everybody in that chain. Hadn't seen that before. I'd never seen anything like it. But let me just say this just to wake us all up about something. I can't base my experience with the Holy Spirit based on something that I experienced back in Brownsville Revival. Some of us went to the Toronto Revival. Some of us in the past couple years have gone to some amazing conferences where the Holy Spirit was moving. But we can't base it just on this. We have to be looking forward for something new and fresh that can come from the Holy Spirit that can touch this church and see people go to come to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need to do. We all need, each and every one of us, a new, fresh experience of the Holy Spirit. Do you need healing in your body? Well, if you do, I would say be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to fill you. And let that healing begin. Do you need freedom of the mind? Depression, pressure, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, thoughts of not being good enough. Be filled in the name of Jesus with his Holy Spirit. Do you need clarity on next moves, major decisions? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:39, let's look at it again. Guys, look at this scripture. For God's promise. How many of you guys have ever had a promise broken? Okay? I remember as a kid telling Dad, but Dad, you promised. Even if Dad didn't promise, I said it because it almost worked every time. You know? For God's promise, which cannot be broken, of the Holy Spirit, what does it say? For you, your families, and those yet to be born. How many, has anybody just had a baby recently? Anybody? Yeah. Dude, his Holy Spirit was for yours. Before, yes, you see what I'm saying? Before it was ever born, it was there. And guys, here's the thing, and what does it go on to say? And for, everybody say it, everyone, every race, color, and creed, that the Holy Spirit is there to be a blessing unto you. This is God's promise. It is a commanded promise of God. I talked on Wednesday night, 2018, Joel Osteen preached a message called the Commanded Blessing. And he's talking about that once God puts it into the air, once he makes that promise, once he declares it, it doesn't matter what the enemy thinks about it. It cannot be stopped. So it's already been set to motion. Doesn't matter what the plans are against you. You are called by him and he stands ready to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? His Holy Spirit is for everyone. And let me give you this third and final thought, that the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. He wants to speak through you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, when somebody speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, because he's not speaking to people but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. Basically what Paul is saying is that this is not known languages, but it is in Spirit-inspired utterances. That the Holy Spirit does speak through you even when you're not sure what to say. Look at the scripture in Matthew 10, 19, 20. Jesus is talking and he says, so when they arrest you, don't worry about how to speak or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will give you at that very moment the words to speak. It won't be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I'm going to turn this on you. How many times have we been in conversation with family and friends or just even a stranger and the topic goes toward Christ and you're sitting there and maybe if you would have woke up that morning thinking that knowing you were going to have to do this, you'd probably be panicked and would cancel even wanting to meet with them. But because you're there and it's happening, all of a sudden these words are coming out of your mouth and you walk away from that meeting going, what in the world just happened? Because that was not me. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That the Holy Spirit took over and began to talk for you. Where have we heard this before? Think about with the conversation with God and Moses. Exodus 4:12, he says, now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. Guys, everybody wiggle your toes real quick. Just wiggle all 10 of them, or if you're missing one, all 9. But wiggle your toes. Because I'm about to step on them a little bit, because I've already stepped on mine. If we are to move in the Spirit, we're going to talk about gifts of Spirit in just a second. We have to have the Word of God inside of us. I've got Bibles that just came out of my office that I like to go through that are different translations, just to see the Scripture in different translations. But here's the fact. If they're just sitting in my office, and I'm not picking that thing up, and when I say that thing, I'm talking about the thing that God gave to us that has been breathed upon, that is a living word. If it just sits on my shelf, it's not doing me any good. What happens is I have to take it and I have to begin to feed on it. I have to get it inside of here, right here. Inside me. I need it inside me. Just as I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to be in every cell of my body, I need the Word of God in every cell of my body. And here's the thing, guys. Listen to this. How do we know what God is saying if we don't pick up His Word? How do we know the heart of God if we never read His Word? And see, we don't, in this day and age, we don't have an excuse. We have it here. I'm patting my rear, but I meant here. We have it here, iPads. We can look it up even on our TVs now and read Scripture. We can have Scripture sang to us in worship. But if we're not putting it inside here, how do we know what God is trying to say to us? Amen? Amen. So guys, check this out. How would we ever find or know about the story of Pentecost if we're not reading His Word? His Word inside you, God's Word, with the help of the Holy Spirit to give you power to your words. In fourth grade, it was my first ever fight. Didn't have a lot of fights in my life, but this was the first one I remember. I was at Gibbs Elementary, Little Rock, Arkansas, right behind Central High School. And guys, I was out there, it was lunch, and I ran out, and we had a swing set that had, you know, two, and two. And guys, how many of you remember the swing sets back in the 60s and 70s? They had chains as long as to the ceiling up here. And man, once you got going, you could be up like 30 feet in the air. And when you launched, you were base jumping. I'm not kidding, man. Didn't have to wear helmets, elbow pads, nothing. You were just on these swings that were not, should not have been for kids, but we loved them. You know what I mean? And so I'm out there and I'm swinging, man. I'm pumping and getting high and all this. Well, all of a sudden, one of my schoolmates comes walking up, wasn't in my class. And when I went by, he grabbed at the chain. And you know what happens? Full swing. And I start doing like I'm literally coming down from space. And I finally get my feet under it, and he tried it again, and I just shot up out of the swing. I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I want that swing." And I'm looking, and I go, "There's five other swings. Take one of those." And guys, we just start throwing blows. Haymakers. Now, I don't know what a fourth grade haymaker looks like, you know, but we're throwing them, kicking, pushing, rolling around in the dirt. And when it was finally done, we both stood up, and I'm still ready to go. Remember when Captain America said, "I can do this all day"? I was mad because that was my swing. Is everybody with me? There's five others. This is my swing. And guys, check this out. Satan doesn't want what's not being used. You know who he's paying attention to? Those that have the Word of God inside of them. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit from top to bottom. Satan doesn't want what's not being used. He wants to steal and destroy what is God's and what is yours. Catch this. He wants your kids. He wants your husband. He wants your wife. He wants to take your voice, your calling, your hope. He wants you. And he's going to do whatever it takes. And if we really want the Holy Spirit to speak through us, we have to be students of the Word. We got to get this inside of us. It's important that we do. Guys, listen to this. You won't know this unless you read the Word, but the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that God has transmitted his very substance into every Scripture, for it is God-breathed. Can everybody say God-breathed? Now in the Greek, theanostas is God-breathed. And guys, here's the thing is that the Word of God is inspired. And I want you to hold on to the word inspired as I talk to you, but the Word of God is inspired because Scripture is not simply a book that talks about God. It actually contains God. It's a living Word. His breath is embedded. Listen to what I'm saying. The breath of God is embedded in his word. It's that powerful. It's that led by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter 1:20 through 21, remember inspired. You must understand that this is at the outset. Interpretation of scriptural prophecy requires the Holy Spirit, for it does not originate from someone's own imagination. No true prophecy comes from human initiative, but is inspired by the moving of the Holy Spirit upon those who spoke the message that came from God. So let me talk to you a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. I want to share a couple of pet peeves that I have about this subject, okay? The first one is this. If somebody ever walks up to you and introduces themselves as a prophet by handing you a business card, okay? Be kind. Say, "Thank you, I really appreciate it." And if they have a word, they can say it. But when you walk away from that room, just put it in the trash. Amen. Let me give you another one. Something that can happen in the church if you're not very careful. What happens is with the gift of the Spirit is churches can start comparing themselves, the body, to each other. Oh, wait, how many gifts of the Spirit do you function in? Oh, well, yeah, that's not as much. How many gifts of the Spirit do you function in? Yeah, it's still, you know. And you start comparing something that the Lord meant for good for the church. Guys, this is the word that the Lord gave me this, and I want you to catch this. The gifts of the Spirit are not for elevating ourselves above each other. They were given so that he could be elevated in us. I've gotten to a place to where, like, where I'm walking with God and where I want to be and where my wife, my family, and my extended family are. And I just really have gotten to a place that I just don't care what the world thinks about me. There's people that won't like Matt Stewart. There's people that possibly in this church that don't like Matt Stewart. But they can't argue with the fact that this church is going to do everything that it can every time that we gather together to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Plain and simple. Every time. No watered down gospel, no watered down scripture. We are going to get shoulder to shoulder, get behind the vision of this church to see all come to Jesus. To do everything that we can to bring those to Jesus. And we're only going to be able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Elijah said this, and this is what I want to be able to say, that if I be a man of God, let the fire fall. Golly, you guys. If I be a man of God, speak your words through me, Lord. If I be a man of God, let your Spirit move me. Let your Spirit direct my steps. Ladies in the church, that you would be able to say with your mouth, if I be a woman of God, let your fire fall. If I be a woman of God, anoint my days to serve you and send me. If I be a woman of God, use me to heal your people. That I would walk out the rest of my days led and filled by your Spirit. I would say this, Holy Spirit, speak through us. Speak through me, speak through your people. Take our hearts, take our minds, take our mouths and use them to speak your truth. Worship team, come on up and get ready to take us in there. How many of you guys appreciate our worship team? They've just done such an amazing time this morning. John 14, and I'm closing this up. John 14, verses 16 through 18. Guys, check out the scripture. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, for I am coming to you. If you look at this scripture here, and you look at the word counselor, and you look it up in the many translations that the Bible has, you're going to see other names like comforter, helper, companion, advocate, friend. In the Passion Translation, guys, it actually says a new savior. It says it that way. If you look it up in the Greek, it's parakletos. And parakletos talks about someone that is called to come alongside you. One who pleads another's cause. A defender, an intercessor. In the widest sense that you could possibly imagine, that counselor would come and be your counselor in the widest sense. When my daughter Skye was a little girl, we would have her on our knee, or on our laps, and we'd just be holding her on the couch, and she'd be sitting there with Lori and I, and I'd say, baby Skye, you know, tell me, how much do you love your daddy? And she'd go, this much. She just put her hands out as far and as wide as she possibly could. And you always knew when Skye was upset with you because you could say it and she'd go. This was the widest sense that she could possibly say how much she loved us. This past week, I was watching the Endgame, the Avengers movie, and you know, the Avengers are going to get the stones to be able to defeat Thanos and all this whole thing. Well, Iron Man has finally decided he wants to join in because he's going to help them with the times, the space travel and all this. And he's having this conversation with his daughter. If you know the scene, you know what I'm talking about. And they're just having this beautiful moment together. And the daughter just goes, Daddy, I love you 3,000. Iron Man stands up and he goes, like, wow. He goes, that's huge. You know, that's big. Wow, 3,000? And he walks out. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into a deeper knowledge of His Word. Ask Him to give you divine strength to do this life. It's not an easy life. But to ask Him to give you the strength to do it and see people come to Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, the church was not only empowered, but it was expanded to all nations in the widest sense that you could possibly imagine. It had started. The enemy couldn't stop it. The Holy Spirit was promised, it was given, and it was already shaking things up. I didn't even say this in the first service, but we know that Peter, when he spoke that sermon on the day of Pentecost, how many numbers came to the Lord? 3,000. It's like the Holy Spirit is saying, I love you, 3,000. Amen. In the widest sense that you can think of how much does the Lord actually love me, the Holy Spirit to move in me. He just says, I just think it's perfect. I love you, 3,000. I want to see all people filled and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not in competition, but in unison. As Pastor Lori talked about earlier, they were in one accord. Everybody say one accord. You know what that means? That we actually like each other. It means we love each other. Might get mad every once in a while at each other, but we love each other. We're a body, and I would love to see everyone here, guys, listen, engulfed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to close this up, and we had this entire place full of people, first service. It was unbelievable. I'm not competing with that. I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to do what He's going to do. But before we do it, Marisol, where are you? Come on up here. If you don't know this, Parker, who plays the saxophone, he's a bad dude. His father is very sick. He had a surgery Monday. They repaired the things that they needed to repair, but he is really struggling with infection and fever and all this, and they don't really actually know what's going on with him. Parker, come on down here real quick. Marisol has a word, and then we're going to pray for Eric. We're going to stand in the gap for Eric. Amen?
So the Lord